If one more label try to stop me, it'll be another label wish they wouldn't sign me. You don't want no problems, with no problems for me. You don't want no problems, with no problems for me. Just another day, another song, and another show. Up on stage in the crowd, be like, here you go. You don't want no problems, with no problems for me. You don't want no problems, with no problems for me. Just another day.
Hey. Hey. DJ Travlin took us to the next level. Okay.
For sure.
After 3 years, we finally got a real intro with video. It just took Corona to have to, you know, to make this happen.
Yeah, it was worth the wait.
Absolutely. So there's plenty of creativity that transpires during this time or what have you. So, you know, now we're in this position of reopening. How y'all feel about that?
Not ready.
Okay.
Too soon.
But we got to do it at some point.
I know we got to do it at some point, but what they say is, what, just today, 1,000 cases alone in Northern Virginia or in Virginia?
Uh-oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, they got to do it right. They got to do it smart. And there's a lot of people, I think I saw in Wisconsin, people crowded a bar, you know, after the
And that's the thing, yeah.
I saw some mannequins coming to restaurants as well. In South Carolina, that's supposed to help with the social distancing. So, you know, instead of being sat beside a friend or a neighbor, you too now can sit beside a mannequin.
No, I'm good. Is he paying for my meal? Is he paying for a portion of
it? I don't think the mannequin speaks, so.
Oh, I mean, can you imagine that?
Oh. I guess not.
The mannequin is just simply a placeholder for, you know, our 6 feet distances. But, you know, Atlanta was, like, the first to kind of officially open. And, you know, a lot of people are finally getting their weave done. I mean, maybe I can get a, you know, makeup stylist to make sure I got the right color. Because this look a little, wow. Yeah.
You look all right.
Yeah, you look good, girl. You look good.
Out this joint.
But even in, even in Georgia, places have increased, too. When they reopen.
Yeah, I mean, this is really crazy. And so Maryland Governor Hogan has allowed us to reopen. But guess who's still on lockdown, honey? Prince George's County and Montgomery County. Mm-hmm. They said, no, ma'am. Angela Alsop Brooks was not having it. She said, it's 10,000 of y'all who have COVID-19, honey. And we're not taking the risk of us being disproportionately out unnecessarily. You know, I totally get it, but you know, I know many of people need their feet done. I mean, they're gonna be looking like that episode of Martin when Myra was in there.
That's me right now.
And me. That's me. Okay. I need a massage. I need everything. My back is killing me. You know,
it's I know.
Home experience. But you know, listen. One of the things that we hear that might come down the pipeline is this idea of actually having a $2,000 stimulus check. So how do you all feel about this stimulus check experience?
I feel better if I was getting one.
Exactly. I feel better if it was actually in my hand right now and it wasn't no stipulations with it, I would feel much better.
Nah, but I'm thankful that I don't. Well, all jokes aside, thankful that I don't. I know people need it, And so I'm glad that they're doing something about it and getting money in people's hands. But it's also like, man, I think about the back end and how are we gonna pay for this? And yeah. I'm not gonna have a tax return in 2021, or you know, it's gonna be looking small, if anything. So I think about that too. How are we gonna pay for this? But I know it's needed. So I'm glad people are getting the help they need.
Yeah, I think a lot of people and a lot of us here at IAG have been blessed to still be able to work during the, you know, pandemic. So that's a blessing.
It definitely is a blessing. But it, again, it's definitely taking a toll. And I feel like the $2,000 would just help much more if it was on a consistent basis of us being able to, I don't know, make sure you can pay your car note, pay your mortgage, you know, pay your rent, pay your utilities, because mortgage or rent, they still will cut it off, okay? Like, it's nothing. So, sure. You know, all of those things causes, you know, just anxiety or the fear of like, man, I can't even get through for unemployment. Like, that's another thing that people are dealing with of like, I've been calling every day for unemployment and I still can't make a claim, you know? So I'm grateful, but I definitely know the feeling of like, man, when is the next paycheck coming? Anybody who's been a consultant, you know, before knows what that's like for sure. But you know, one of the things we got to make sure we do is we stay safe. We got to make sure that we remain creative. We got to make sure that, you know, in this time, that we know what we got to do, wash our hands and everything else like that. And I want to go ahead, brush your teeth, Slim.
Don't touch your face.
No, don't touch your face.
Coronavirus.
My shadow. Shadow, he is 9 years old in the third grade, and he had a tested. Oh, right now, he has.
Shout out to him.
Yes, absolutely. That is our friend to the show, Deanna Hawkins' nephew, with his new brand new single. Y'all can go ahead and cop that on YouTube. You feel me?
For okay. Sure. Do we got a music video for it?
I know, because I see he has two backup dancers right
now. Oh.
You know, I'm always up for a new role.
Yeah, I believe he is shooting a video. We recorded that song, last Saturday. And it was like, oh, no, we got to get the song out because, you know what I'm saying, they trying to open up out here, but they need to know. Follow his rules. Stay safe.
Brush your teeth.
Brush your teeth.
He said,
wicked, Weezy. I have to play that for my kids some days. Just
brush your teeth. Brush your teeth.
I gotta tell you, wash your face. Wash your face. I need an adult version. Wash your ass.
Right.
Here go the adult version. Deodorant.
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 Deodorant. Right.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I like it.
Excellent.
That's an anthem.
It is an anthem. So,
I like that.
I feel like we should make a TikTok video. You know, we always love our young rappers out here starting doing some things. And he had a message for us all. You know,
yeah.
Shout out to Fly Shadow.
Flash Shadow.
Yeah, man, he did that.
Well, B,
you did a good job too, Reese.
What'd you say?
You did a good job too.
You did.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta stay safe.
Yeah, so thank you.
I can see her
that was it.
You gotta stay safe.
The body roll experience, you know?
Yeah.
but you know, it's real, it's like, you know, it's a little
it's a bop.
Yeah.
I like
it. It's a bop. I try to get my little Megan Thee Stallion on with you know, my little ad libs or whatever. Yeah.
We can't have a kid song and then Megan in the same.
Kidding.
That's how it's gonna be with Sharice and Bev in this video.
Oh my God.
That's a dropping it low for Jesus.
Right. Jesus.
Keep the Lord in mind as your dirty one.
So anyway, what did he say? Baptized. Wait a minute. Trev. So B, what's your tea for tonight, real quick?
Man, let me just get into it because I actually had quite a bit, but I'm just make it brief. I know we got some other stuff. So we have something going on. It's called Pay It Forward Live Weekly. Actually, Sharice hit me to this. It's going to be the biggest name in entertainment supporting small businesses. It's going to air on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 p.m. on Verizon, on Yahoo, Twitter, FB, YouTube, Fox Now. Chance the Rapper is actually playing this week on Thursday. And they're going to have a new artist every week streaming live from their home. I'm super excited about that, partially because I'm nosy and I want to see what your house look like. But then also because you are, you know what I'm saying, you're supporting a small business. And keeping in tune of supporting small businesses, y'all know during COVID, a lot of people are getting creative with coming up with things to kind of help the community and provide a service. I know me personally, I'm starting lashes. You know, I said I was going to learn to do lashes, y'all.
Okay.
I did those today. You know, okay. Yeah, I'm gonna put book and info in my bio on Instagram. If you need lashes done, get at me. But no, what I want to do is every week I want to spotlight somebody providing a service that otherwise would not have been providing this service. So, in the true spirit of IAG, I'm gonna spotlight this week is called Posh Bar on Wheels, and they're bringing you all of your COVID-19 libations. You get strawberry, peach, pink lemonade, Henny, or Douce. I did say Douce.
What's the name of this again?
Posh Bar. I'm going to drop the info. No worries.
Okay. Yeah.
You deliver. I'm trying to place an order right now.
Do you deliver or not?
I'm thinking that too.
They do margaritas. They got strawberry lemonade, peach, and pink lemonade. And on Sundays, in the pre-COVID mood, they do mimosas. All drinks are $10 and the mimosas are $15. And you can follow them at @PoshBar_on_wheels. So if you know anybody or you are personally doing something, you delivering a meal, you offering to come to my house and do a pedicure, I'm praying that service comes to fruition. Let me know. Hit me at @Bevan_unique in my DMs, on my page, whatever, so I can spotlight you.
Hey, I like that.
That's dope.
Thanks,
Dave. That's very nice, very nice. So, you know, every week we have a special guest. And this week we have the Reverend Tony Lee. I got chills. Church, you know, T and I grew up thick, you know what I'm saying, in the church.
In the church.
And we will never forget, like, New Year's, there was no question where we were going to be. We were legitimately going to be in either the auditorium at Crossland, okay? Mm-hmm. Party, right. Gospel go-go, till 12 in the morning, or we was going to be at the old sanctuary, original sanctuary. We was going to be quickly. Mm-hmm. You were always there, and like you started off, in my opinion, I just feel like you have always just simply been the person that has been able to reach back into the community and welcome them with open arms, because I feel like a lot of people, like, once they surpass the 18-year-old stamp and they go off to college and then they start dealing with real life things, they're like, what scripture am I supposed to, what is this? You know, my life is not technically adding up to what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you, your brother, Reverend Bill Lee, your mom, Dr. Nancy Lee, like all of you all as a family, the Lee family has just known how to make people feel welcome that otherwise would be like, man, I can't even step in the church. You know, I done some crazy stuff and I can't get there, you know, whether it's their lifestyle, whether it's how they, their stress relievers, you know what I'm saying? It's all types of things, you know, but it's legal now. But you know, all those types of things, people will be scared to come to church or, you know, be afraid to just share. And we want to just thank you here at IAG Radio Show from the bottom of our hearts, from when we were young, T and I, to now being old, of knowing, like, if there was ever something that we needed to go to someone about, and it's in the pastoral figure that we know we can humbly come to you and the community of hope. So thank you so much for that.
I think she's trying to make me cry.
No, but I do want people to understand the importance of just some of the messaging that you offer. And so I just wanted to share with folks a little bit of a clip of just how you give the word.
But I'm so glad to know that in the time of trouble that God is our refuge, that God is there for us, that we can go to God and God is a place for us to stay, that God is where we shelter in place. In trouble, I shelter in place in God's arms, that God is my refuge, but not just my refuge, God is my strength. And so God won't just be a place for me to stay, but God will be a place where I can get stronger. It doesn't say that God is strong for me. It says that God is my strength. And so I find my strength in God. And somebody, that needs to be good news for you, because you've been feeling a little bit weak, and you've been feeling like you don't have enough, and you don't feeling like you don't have what it takes. You've been feeling like you're about to lose your mind, and you've been feeling like you're about to just throw in the towel. But I've come by to let you know that God isn't just your refuge, but God is our strength. That God props us up when we can't make it anymore. That God pushes us further when we don't seem to have what it takes. That God is our refuge and our strength.
Amen.
Amen.
This dude was job preaching.
Yeah, he was.
On mother. On mother. On God, he was preaching.
Yeah.
Whole time. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, that message alone is so imperative right now, considering the climate of how so many people are struggling on variations of levels. Like, there's no one level of struggle. It's the mental struggle. It's the, I feel stuck and alone. I feel, I don't know how I'm going to even pay my bills. I don't even know if I can get something to eat, let alone, I don't even know how to even show my love for a passing loved one. You know, God, why would you do this to us if you said, you know, you put on so much of what we can bear? God, I can't bear this.
Right.
You know, so to hear that, what was your mindset when you decided to talk about having strength in this time of trouble? I know it's cliche, but I mean, still, you brought it back with so much reverence.
Well, I think a piece of it is, so people think that preachers preach messages for y'all, but we also preach messages for us. And so when I'm preaching about God being our strength, I'm saying our strength, not just y'all's strength. I'm not just saying this for y'all. I'm saying that I need a healthy reminder for myself. And so a lot of times when I'm preaching, especially during this season, I'm preaching to myself, because, you know, people be like, how you doing, Rev? I'd be like, matters which day. You know, I got days when I feel like doing everything, and I got days in which I feel like laying in the bed all day watching Netflix and watching Tiger King again, the whole season in one day. So I think it is a bit about, you know, that we preach not just what we believe you all need, but what we need as well. It wouldn't be a good word if I didn't use it for myself.
Absolutely. And I mean, one of the things that I have seen, even with, you know, your radio show that you have on Sundays at WPGC on 95.5, you speak to people and you give them that hope. And I really don't know how else to say this, but I honestly feel like the name of your church is like amazing. Like it is literally stamped, because you have been the hope for the community while there have been a lot of different things going on. And, you know, some people have been like, well, I didn't gave my tithes. You know, I'm struggling. When I'm going, you know, when the church gonna help me? And I feel like Community Hope was the first church that I had heard anything about coming together and putting forces in, because I guess you've had an outpouring of people wanting to help. And I guess, how was the organizational process of just trying to figure out, yes, I want to do this, and two, how can we do this safely?
Well, and I think it came out of the fact that we were already doing it. And so, say, our first grocery drive came out of a partner that we have been doing grocery drives with for the last 3 years, twice a month. So we've been giving away groceries twice a month for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
But that partner couldn't do it in the way they had been doing it. And so we have to shift it. The great thing, though, and this is one of the things I think is the hardest thing about churches, are churches their worst PR firm? Because churches are taught to kind of do what you do and kind of be easy about it. Because there are actually a lot of churches that were doing a lot, but just folks don't know about it. One of the things, I guess, because, you know, some folks know me, I've got the radio show, you know, Go Community, that kind of stuff. Our stuff was at Abson. I think that folks may have heard about us, but like, I could call out St. Stephen's Baptist Church was doing it exactly like us and had been doing it just like us for the last gazillion years. So what happened is there were churches who have been doing good work and they kept on doing the good work. Churches, shout out. The other thing is, like, and I've learned this stuff from where I came out of. So shout out to Ebenezer and the Brownings, right? So picture this. On Easter, I call my outreach person. I'm like, look, I'm really praying. I want us to give out, even though we got service online on Easter Sunday, I want us to give out 500 boxes of groceries. Good groceries, not sham groceries, good groceries. See how much it's going to take. And we're going to have to figure out how to get it. And we're going to ask God to just give us the money for it, right? And God does. And so we give out our groceries, and them grocery boxes cost like $22 a box. So it's like 11 G's worth of groceries. We had to buy a refrigerator truck, blah, blah, blah. God provides all the resources to do it, right? People just started giving us money, and we're just like, here, 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 here. They just started blessing us. So we think we're doing it, right? Doing it. It's Easter Sunday. We doing it. 500 boxes of groceries. The police chief is out there, blah, blah, blah. We're doing it, right? It's never competition. So I'm blessed. My son in ministry, Dr. Gerald Folsom, he's down the street at Hemingway Memorial AME Church. They giving out stuff. They killing it, right? So boom, my folks, they doing it. We out here. We serving the people. We blessing them. I get a call, and they like, yo, Ebenezer gave out $2,050 gift cards. Right? So at that point, I realized I just got little void in the health industry. Right? Because
Grange is an unstepped job, dog.
Hey, hey. But the beautiful thing is, right? Like I said, we all just out there blessing. And so you got my parents in the ministry in the church I came out of. You got my church, and then you got my son in the ministry. So you got three generations of Ebenezer who was serving the community on Easter Sunday, and we didn't even talk to each other about it, right? And the father supposed to, the father and the mother supposed to do it bigger than his kids. And you know, I started counting, right? Because you know me, I told y'all, I counted out how much my groceries cost. I'm real with it. $22 a box. They had great boxes. Them boxes had three meats in them. Them boxes could feed a family of four. I'm talking about them boxes had sirloin tips in them and chicken.
When did that time y'all giving out?
Italian sausage.
Must have put that box together.
Oh, the box is serious, and we're giving them away next Sunday too, right?
All right,
I'll be there. Oh no, so we on it. I mean, like I'm sized. I'm like we killing. I'm feeling like Rafael Edmonds. I'm feeling like Nino Brown on Thanksgiving. I'm just like, yo, we out here helping the people. And they tell me Ebenezer giving away $2,050 gift cards. I start saying, carry the one. That's $100,000. Right? And then on Mother's Day, they give out another $50,000 worth of the joints. Right? And I'm just like, yeah. So all that to say, it's churches all over the region doing great work. We're just honored. My folks up there, Reverend Matthew Watley, Reverend Kendra Smith, up there, and they killing and they giving away all kinds of stuff. And so I'm just excited at Kingdom Fellowship AME Church in Montgomery County. Like I can name people all over the place, like Pastor Keith Battle and them. Pastor Keith Battle just gave 8 churches. See, I don't like counting people money, but I counted that money. real talk, Zion Church, Pastor Keith Battle, they gave 8 churches 15 G's apiece. Do the counting. Carry the one. That's 120 G's. Off the rip. Right? Yeah. So I can't sit in that. So I'm grateful. Like, we've been able, like, we've been giving away groceries on Sundays. We've been able, with our partnership with the with the World Central Kitchen and Jose Andres, to give out 1,000 prepackaged hot meals on Tuesdays. We've been doing that. And shout out County Exec Angela Also Brooks. She gave us the plug on that and pulled that together, boom, boom. So we've been blessed to serve, but I've really been blessed to see how many churches are out here just doing it at levels and in different ways. And we all just celebrating each other because we all just out here trying to serve.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing right there in of itself. Like, there can't be competition when it's about serving the people. Like,
And it can't be competition when Ebenezer got that bag and giving out 100 G's worth of daggone gift cards. I ain't competing. I'm celebrating them. Hercules. Shucks. Out of my league, tag on. Ebenezer budget, my budget. I'm gonna give to y'all on my budget.
Right, but at least you got a budget, you know?
Right. Yeah. Hey, no, and the thing is, I'm grateful to God because God's been providing. You know what I'm saying? That God has been, like, we asked God, literally, my team, I said, look, we're gonna lean on God and we're gonna believe that God is gonna give us the ability to give to people all throughout this season. So we've given out thousands and thousands of boxes of groceries, thousands and thousands of meals. We gave up, we've given out almost 20,000 masks so far. And in 2 weeks, we'll give out another 10,000 masks. Almost 10,000 rolls of toilet paper. You know, like, we've just been able, I mean, since when is the church the toilet paper plug?
Y'all got the plug on the butt coin. That's called.
Hey, I'm gonna tell y'all like this. That we gave folks toilet paper and masks, and we said we was taking care of them at both ends.
And it's so great to hear many churches that are doing good work, because that's one of the criticisms that so many come under so soon. So not just to hear what you're doing in your church, but all the churches in the region, that's such a good thing to hear. And good for people.
Like, real talk, these churches out here grinding. Like, and I'm not just talking about big churches, I'm talking about small churches, big churches. These churches out here, like, these churches are greasy. I've been so proud of the churches, and that's all over. The churches have been greasy. They just been out there like, how do we get out here? How do we help people? Are people hurting? How do we get out here and help people? But the sad thing is, the only stories you'll hear mostly are people saying the churches ain't doing nothing,
mm-hmm.
Right? Because everybody likes that. Everybody wants to hear that spin, boom, boom, when the reality of the matter is, they out here getting it. Like, I see them and I be saluting them. And I know they tired because I'm tired. I'm working harder now than before the day goes. I need a vacation from Corona. I need a Corona-free beach.
Right, for the pastoral anniversary. Okay, so, hey. I mean, that was one of our questions in terms of how has the church changed for you now? And what does that feel like for you? More personal, like, you know, there's now you got to go to Zoom this interview, have church here. You got to set up everything.
Yeah. Right. So I think the thing for us is it's allowed us to innovate. And so what we ended up doing is our Sunday mornings, now we go to the TV studio to do them.
Okay.
And so our Sunday morning now looks like worship service / TV. Okay. So you can get praise and worship, but you can also get an interview with a council member. Okay. Or a gospel artist or something like that. Like, it has this little range. And so we up in the TV studio, we doing it. And then we about to do a whole reboot at the end of this month. And it's going to be crazy. Y'all going to look and be like, oh, they need to get on the Oprah Network. They in there trying to kill us.
Okay.
I ain't playing. Oh, no. We even built a video studio in the house with green screen and everything.
Okay.
Oh, ain't nobody playing out here in these Corona streets? No, okay. We ain't got time. We got to get the word of the Lord out to the people. People need to hear the word of the Lord. They need to hear the word of the Lord in a way they can receive it, right? But it also caused us to reach outside of our platform. So while we got our services streaming on our stuff and our website and Facebook and all that kind of stuff, we also on GoGo Radio. And so on Sunday mornings, you can go to GoGo Radio Live on Facebook or on the app, and you can watch Community of Hope. And so it's caused us to just look at, okay, what are the ways that we can plug in? What are the ways that we can help people? And what are ways we can be innovative and creative in doing it?
Indeed. Well, you know, you guys are definitely doing, I think everybody is forging new ways to kind of like come together, reinvent the wheel. I mean, even just, you know, IAG virtually is a new thing for us too. And it's working. It requires a different amount of.
The reach is more. It's just like now more people are just like, oh, what is this thing? You know, what is this? Let me go ahead and log on. I'm not doing anything else. You know,
I ain't got nothing to do. All I'm doing is sitting home trying to look at stuff to watch. And so let me give you something to watch.
Exactly.
Well, one of the things we wanted to talk about right before we let you go, we know you definitely. You know, bam, 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 you got victim. Okay, you booked the bees, it's for Jesus. Okay, so.
I got a shout out to Rita's Ice.
Oh,
Rita's rocking.
Where's our Rita's? You know, when Ellen and Oprah do something like that, they bring it out to everybody.
Hey, I'm sorry. It's bad, man. It's my bad. But I be buying Rita's by the quart and putting that joint in the freezer. Shout out to Rita's. I think y'all need to give me a deal. Bless y'all.
Right.
There's going to be a readers in the community of hope right outside.
Hey, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, because
I felt God in that.
Charlie's is taking too long. I've been wanting them strawberry lemonades, but Charlie's, I don't know what's going on. So Rita's could show up in that little spot.
Hey.
Sure. Shout out Tropical Smoothie as well. We love them too.
Oh, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, especially when the Iverson Mall, that's my people's, and they get it.
That's our
hey, after church, we used to have Tropical Smoothie Cafe pop-ups.
Oh, yes.
Word. Oh, right there after church. And also the brother, and we had pop-up bake sales with the brother who got the Iverson Mall, who got the cake joint up in that joint. Pro Cake.
True.
Shout out to Pro Cake. Oh, we about Black business now. Yeah, we support.
That's what's up.
I want all Black people to win.
Hello.
Yeah.
Bye black.
Hey.
So here's the thing: we really wanted you to put your thoughts on, and just help us as we process. Because once you leave, Bevan and I are going to continue this conversation. But it's about all of these senseless killings that are happening right now in our communities, and how do you manage that with so many people feeling like enough is enough? Like, I mean, what more do we have to do? I mean, I just saw something today where there was a gentleman that was delivering like furniture in Oklahoma City and being stopped by two neighbors to say like, what you doing here, boy? You
right.
know, so it's right, just right. like, and luckily he's alive, and it's so sad right. that we have to say he made it. But, you know, what is your take on what we can do? Because I know a lot of people may feel like, I'm praying, Jesus, I'm praying. Mm-hmm. But, you know, beyond that, what action steps or words of encouragement might you be able to provide?
That's a perfect question. So I don't know if y'all saw in a movie called Remember the Titans. Mm-hmm. There was a scene up in there in which one of the guys said, attitude reflects leadership. And I believe that what you're seeing, well, so one, the white supremacy has never been dead in this nation. So we act like it's a part of our past, but it's really a great part of our present. But two, I believe what you're also seeing is attitude reflects leadership. And so it starts from the head and it goes all the way down. And so for us to deal with what we're navigating this nation right now, we got to start with the head and go all the way down. And that's both politically and spiritually. And so politically, we have a president who does not mind stamping white supremacy. That's just hands down. That just is what it is. You want to argue with me? I can just sit here all day and just show you what the dude has said and what his actions have been and how he treats not just Black people, but people of color and any others. And he won off of stoking the fires of white supremacy because he understood that that folks were understanding that by most statistics that white folks were going to become the minority in this nation within a decade and a half, whatever, right? And so therefore you take this white fear and you're able to shift that thing. And there's a great book called White Rage, and White Rage talks about the anytime that Black, by Carol Anderson. And Carol Anderson, she writes about the fact that anytime white folks in America, anytime Black folks or people of color in America make any significant advances, there's always a backlash. And so what we witness after President Obama's 8 years, and after 8 years of seeing a Black family in the White House, Black man, Black woman, loving each other, two Black girls, even a Black grandmama up in the joint, right? Anytime you have like that kind of a thing, there's going to be a backlash in this nation. But the backlash is not just of anger, but it's also always systemic and institutional. And so if you look at what they've done, is they start shaping a plan. As soon as Obama got in, they start having these little funny parties called tea parties, right? So you had the tea party come up, right? And they started organizing. But they started organizing not at the national level, but at the state level and the county level. And then they started, and they know the system. And so they started working the little systems and gerrymandering and working the systems, working the maps, et cetera, so that it was easier to get their folks elected. And so then they started getting folks elected at the local level, at the state level. Well, here's the challenge at the local and the state level. At the local and the state level, that's your state's attorneys. That's the people who are making the decisions about who gets locked up or not. Yeah. That's the people who are making the decisions about if someone's charged or not. And so then when you have folks who literally chase a dude down and shoot him, right? And all he's doing is jogging, and the folks don't arrest him and lock them up, right? That's because there are elected people in office who are not forcing the hand to make sure stuff is handled. And so therefore, we have to move at a couple of levels. One, we have to move at the national level. We got to get, we got to make sure 45, that's his, that he don't get 8 and he only gets 4, right? We got to make him only get 4. And that's real talk. And elections have consequences, and we said it when folks, y'all remember about 4 years ago when folks were talking about, man, I'm not voting, man, it ain't matter, it don't matter. Yeah, and now we're in the middle of a daggone pandemic, and we can't even get, and we can't even get tests, right? That's because leadership matters and elections matter. And so we've got to make sure, but also on the local levels, we got to look at what, who these people as judges, who are these people running for the judge? No, you need to make sure you know who's running for the judge, because that's the person who's going to be able to make the conviction or not, or who's going to oversee the court case. You need to make sure that you're looking at, do you realize that most state's attorneys races are won by hundreds, not thousands? Right? They're won by hundreds, not thousands. So we've got to get engaged in the system while also understanding that some of this stuff is powers and principalities in high places. And so therefore, Christians also had to get on their game spiritually and start casting out stuff and calling evil for evil. And white supremacy is evil. Hands down, we got to stop playing with it. We got to deal with our white Christians and brothers, evangelical brothers and sisters who are more caught up in getting folks who believe just like them to be in the Supreme Court, that they'll deal with a Trump. And we got to call evil for evil. So we got to start calling stuff out. We got to start dealing with stuff spiritually. We got to start hammering stuff. And we got to get engaged in process. And we got to get folks who look like us, think like us, are for us, have agendas for us, and we have to start holding accountable people who look like us or people we put in office who aren't doing things for us. If they don't have an agenda for us and our people, if they letting our folks get killed on the daggone street and nobody get locked up and there be no justice, if they're not reshaping corrupt police systems and making sure that this police are held accountable, then we got to get them up out of there and put people in place who can actually do the work.
Absolutely. It's a vote for our Tony. It's a vote for our Tony.
Go ahead. Put your hat in the ballot. Put your name in the ballot. November, it's not too late.
And I'm working these streets to get the folks out and get the right ones in, though. Y'all going to do that.
Well, you definitely have the right hat on for sure, being an activist. And I think also,
this is my South Africa joint. I got this joint in Joburg.
Okay.
It's a clothing line in Johannesburg.
Okay.
Shout out.
For sure. I mean, you definitely have been able to link politics, not just, you know, the politicians just come through the church just for their, you know, their run through of praise God, how you doing? Bless your name. Please vote for me. You know, definitely have done more than that. And I think when you have greater platforms, it causes more people to take you seriously and realize like there is a reach that I need to be connected to. And so I think it's now important for all of us to kind of make that stand and be able to speak about it. I saw something real quickly. I know you got to go about ASAP Rocky, because he at first didn't believe in the Black Lives Matter experience. And then he was locked up in Sweden. And then he was like, Black lives do matter. You know, I didn't want to just simply be a, you know, I didn't want to just hop on with all the other rappers talking about politics. And it's like, listen, because you're Black alone, this is why it matters. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no moment where it's like, well, you know, I don't deal with that. Because as soon as you think that you're above that curve, like Owens, even though she's extremely intelligent, that's it's gonna catch you by surprise, and you're gonna be like, oh my God, this is what I had to go through. But we thank you for being a
thank you so much
a place of refuge for so many people in the community and providing so much hope to them.
Thank y'all for having me. I'm so proud of y'all. Y'all make me feel old. Y'all so grown up now. Like, y'all real grown up, like, grown people. Like full-grown adults, like, lives and full-grown. Like, not even just, like, young adults no more. Y'all just adults. Y'all just
grown people.
Which makes me pull out my AARP card.
You got readers and AARP?
Hey, it ain't no game out here in these streets. Ain't nobody playing with y'all. Bless y'all. Appreciate y'all.
Bless you.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
All right.
All right. Take care.
Well, there you guys have it. There was Reverend Tony Lee, comedian. Oh, okay.
That was awesome. We needed that.
I feel reinvigorated.
Yeah, I know,
on the other night, be like, you know, just about the state of everything. That was just him, having him was good.
Yeah, it definitely was good, and I hope that the people, you know, while you guys are watching, that we will definitely put the link in the bio below of how to connect to Community of Hope AME Church, and if you need help, you know, I you know, to be able to receive it. I know a lot of people feel like, I don't want so and so to see me pull up. Mm-hmm. Listen, pull up, honey, because how I feel is that you've given, whether it was $5, $10, or so-and-so, they didn't really care what your name was, you gave, right? So
now, it shouldn't matter. Now the time you gotta put pride aside if you need
anything. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You gotta get it.
Move that to the side and get your blessing. That's basically what it is. And so I just want to transition into our conversation real quickly. When we were doing our planning meeting, you know, we talked about a young rapper that we love. Her name is Chaka, Chica. I didn't want to mispronounce her name or what have you, but she's a dope artist, by the way. An amazing femcee for sure. And she's very young. I think very young, considering
she's 23.
She's 23. I mean, that's a whole decade, in my opinion, younger than me. All of us. And so,
I'm 22.
but nonetheless, Chaka made a comment. She had a post. Her post was basically about she's tired of seeing the trauma trigger posting of videos of folks who are losing their lives to a gun being plastered around social media over and over and over again. And she feels that it is not normal. And so the conversation that we had together as an IAG crew, well, I took the position of, I kind of disagree with her. Although I understand, I disagreed. The reason I disagreed was because I felt as if someone, I didn't necessarily need to see the video of, say, Ahmaud Arbery passing away and being lynched and killed. But I do recall scrolling through social media and seeing a plethora of people posting, I run with Maude, or justice for Ahmaud Arbery. And I felt like that in of itself was our present day March on Washington in the 2020 lifestyle of how things are going in quarantine. And
yeah, that was the biggest, Run with Maude was the biggest social media, activism thing that ever happened in the history. Like what day was it? Like during his birthday, this last week, it broke records. They said it was close to 500,000 people actually used that hashtag and said that they ran.
Wow. Yeah. And it was 2.23 miles or so that it was expected for us to run. And, you know, the reason why I kind of disagreed with her was because, you know, this is the one time, although still algorithms suck. Okay. Every independent artist, unless you already have thousands of followers, we all know algorithms suck, right? You can go from having, say, 50 likes to randomly 2,500 plus likes on any given day, on any given post, not, you know, whatever it is. But this was something that afforded people to be like, well, what is this? You know, and I secretly feel like Sean King is our present day Martin Luther King. And I immediately went to his page to say, okay, well, what is going on? And I was in agreement of saying, like, you know, this was a powerful way to get the message out. While Bevin, definitely felt like it's too much trauma. So I want Bevin to share her thoughts as well.
So as Cherie said, she disagreed with Chica. And I, on the other hand, I took the stance of, no, I absolutely agree with her, because it's not a thing of the posting of, you know, I run with Maude, or justice for this one, justice for that one. It's more so actually seeing a video of a person that could be your brother, that could have very well been your brother, your sister, your cousin, your uncle, your father, being killed in cold blood. That is so triggering. It's emotionally triggering. It's traumatic. It's something where when I close my eyes at night, I don't want to see that. I don't want the vision of seeing this young man fighting for his life, being shot twice, and then falling to the ground. That's an image that will never leave my head. And I know that had we not seen this, you know, these men probably would have never been arrested. However, on the back end, it's very damaging mentally and emotionally. I feel like, for me, one, because I'm a parent and I have a son and he just turned 14, and I cried like a baby when he turned 14, because there's other 14-year-olds that met a similar fate to Ahmaud, and it's frustrating and hurtful. So just seeing that on the screen, and it's okay, if you see it one time, it's like, oh my God, that, you know, that's crazy. But we consistently see it. It's a consistent thing. It's not like they kill one person and we just saw it this one time. They kill a lot of people, and we've seen it a lot of times. And I don't ever want it to be a thing where I'm desensitized to somebody losing their life, white, black, brown, yellow, whatever. Like, that's just not okay. It's not okay. It's like the people that are over in the Middle East, when they see people die, and, you know, that's why they hate us now. Because it's like, you see, we don't see what they see every day. We don't see that. We don't see buildings getting blown up, your baby laying over here with one arm missing because somebody then dropped a missile on your house. So that's not something that I want to be accustomed to seeing. I don't want to be accustomed to seeing anybody killed. And I can just, oh, let me click on, let me, I go to social media for lighthearted relief. I want to go and laugh at posts. I want to go, yeah, sometimes I want to be enlightened and learn about things that I didn't know. But what I don't want to see is somebody getting shot. I don't want my kids to see that. I don't, my kids are 14 and 17. They don't, they never been to a funeral, ever. And we've had people die. But I, that is something so traumatic. And I don't want that to be a norm. And it's so unfortunate that it's a norm. It's a norm. People are like, oh yeah, y'all see that video of my man get shot? Yeah, why aren't you crying? Why aren't you on the floor in tears? Because I was, like, I had to turn it over, and I had, let me just close this up. I'm done with this for today. I can't do this. And then to turn around and see the other young man that was shot by the police. Like, no, enough is enough. Yes, I want to see justice for these things. Yes, I want light to be shed on white supremacy and corrupt police and all of that. But I don't want to see the physical video. Watching someone die is painful. Watching someone die is tragic, and it changes you. And I don't want myself or anyone that I know, or even people that I don't know, to be changed by watching somebody lose their life.
And that, but that's the thing, is like, it changed. You could, for your situation, for Blacks, you know, we live it, you know, live it. It's more traumatic for us to see. On the other hand, as Cherise was saying too, when she brought up Emmett Till, when we had the other conversation, people on the flip side that don't have an understanding of what the Black community has to face, they, unfortunately, videos like what happened with Ahmaud is their wake-up call. And it's just like, same thing, you know, like as Cherise had said with, about, you know, Emmett Till's mom about posting the photo of his open casket. And that was, you know, that was what changed. That was what shook the thing, you know. So that exposure, I get what you're saying, and you don't want to become, you know, desensitized to it. And I get both points, with, you know, with both of you, and I think Trev feels the same. You get both points, but it's just like, it hurts us, but I see the impact that it, of how it it opens eyes to others.
You know,
to say, okay, this is wrong. We need to make moves to do whatever.
Yeah, I definitely see both sides. But I do sort of lean towards the position that Bevan has. And it's mainly because it is traumatizing. That particular video, I didn't really even watch it. I clicked on it, and once I saw him run towards the guy, and I looked away for a second for something else, not because it was, you know, but I heard a shot, and then I was just like, I'm done watching it, because I've seen the story replayed so many times, and I also don't want to hear the conversation with the excuses on why this happened. You know, why didn't he just listen to what they say, or why was he in all of these fake justifications that they make up? I see the point that Sharice was making on some of these videos sort of being used as a rallying call to get people to move to action, or what Torian was saying about, you know, other folks, white people basically waking up and seeing it, and that then making it sort of real. But we also need to get to a point where we're taking action on these sorts of things and not really look at waiting for anyone else to come and save us. We gotta look at what can we do and start taking, you know, real action on it. And people should have consequences for doing these types of things. And by doing that, only by doing that, will we see that these sorts of incidents are reduced. So.
And that brings back to what Pastor Bill just said, is just like us taking action. Political action, you know, spiritual warfare, you know, keeping prayed up and making sure that you're sound and you're good personally. And then also just making sure the political side of making sure you have the right leaders in place for it, so we can get justice and making sure that, you know, things are fair for everyone.
Absolutely. And I mean, so, you know, as a IAG family, we wanted to make sure that you understand that we feel like collectively all these points are valid. All of these points are valid. And if you understand, this is what a healthy conversation looks like. This is not a debate of, oh, you stupid, you don't know what you... It's none of that, because everybody has a valid affected point. And I say affected point because it affects them differently. And if understanding what their validity of where it's coming from, that core is how you learn where the hurt comes from. And at the end of the day, the one thing that's unifying is, what can we do to help us from stop doing this? We can't go out and run. We can't deliver and work any we can't work and deliver furniture. Mm-hmm. We can't ride in our car, whether tinted or not tinted windows. We can't be
sleep in our bed with Breonna Taylor.
Can't sleep in your bed in your house.
You can't sleep in your bed in your house.
You can't play video games with your nephew in the living room. The girl from Fort Worth, Tatiana Jefferson.
You can't go outside and swing on the swings or at the park. Yep. You might be a suspect.
Right. So there's now, it's almost as though we're repeating history. And with videography, it's as though they don't even care. And, you know, I don't want my white friends that are watching this. I mean, if they are watching this, they already know how I love y'all, period. We're not talking about y'all. We're talking about Cousin Billy and them.
The ones that I just had to unfollow.
Those ones that, oh, yeah, we support, but what are you doing? Don't support me in voice and thought and mind. Oh, I'm going to pray for you behind closed doors, but you don't open yourself up to take a stand and speak.
Interesting point. I saw today where Amanda Seals was calling out Justin Timberlake. Yep. He made a post condemning the Ahmaud Arbery, you know, incident, but he turned off his comments. Couldn't respond to his post. Right. And she was saying, turn those comments on so you can see the type of people that are following you. Yeah. Because she knows that, you know, you're going to have a bunch of racist comments for him coming out in support of or condemning that that incident with Ahmaud. And so it's a very valid point. It's like, all right, we know you quote unquote support, and you may be tired of seeing these racist comments, but we deal with that all the time.
Every day.
So turn it on. And then let those people comment, and then you let them know, you put them in their place as far as letting them know where you stand on that and how foolish they look or how crazy they sound or just racist they are, you know? And so I thought that was, you know, real valid.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a stand-up. I didn't even see that, but I mean, you know.
The whole song.
Oh, wow. I mean, I feel like, you know, there's a tendency to want to support people behind closed doors.
And
you know, well, I love you. I mean, I know we weren't supposed to talk about this till later, but it's like the Netflix series, I mean, the Hulu series of Little Fires.
Little Fires Everywhere, yeah.
And it's like, you know, we're ready to help you. If it makes us look good, if it brings some kind of relief to me to make me feel like,
right. My boyfriend is black. My dad walked with Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, right. what are you doing? What is that?
The Great W Hope.
Like, what does that have to do with me in your household? Why do you think I only come here when your daughter forced me to come here? Wake up! I mean, like, hello. Spike Lee, wake up! You know what I'm saying? Like, wake up everybody, because I feel like there are so many people that are in silos of, this is my bubble, I've made it to this level, I don't have to endure these types of issues. I don't look like I steal, okay? I went to Harvard.
You steal.
It doesn't matter if you went to Harvard, Yale, or the community college, okay? You're still all part of the same thing. I know that every time I see the lights of a police car drive by me.
Yep.
I have a heart condition. I have an enlarged heart. I think everybody knows this at this point. I literally, my heart is pounding at an exponentially high rate because, not because I know I did something wrong, I just don't even know what I did. I mean, and so.
That's like, am I speeding? Wait, is my brake light out? Pause, did I stop? Did I not stop at that stop? Is my seatbelt not on?
Right, and I just say, thank God Cash is in the car, because they love dogs. I mean, this is the only way that I can manage it real quickly, but I'm just telling you all as a comical relief that, you know, there's so many things that are wrong with this, but thank you. Because of time, I literally want us to move forward and to move forward and act.
He never hit that bit so hard.
Right. Why is a black man always aggressive?
Oh, there you go.
But what you guys can do, go to Sean King has started a rallying grassroots organization to kind of help us know how do we do more than just reposting and reposting, right? Mm-hmm. The reason why I feel like Ahmaud Arbery's case went as fast as it did, although it happened 2 months ago, his death happened 2 months ago, was because there were actionable steps, right? Murdered 2 months ago, exactly, excuse me. Call this number. When you call this number, I'm gonna walk you through step by step of what to say to this DA. I'm gonna tell you what to say to this governor, what to say to this council member, and then I'm gonna tell you to sign this petition. And this petition means much. So, I mean, there were actionable steps. So you guys can just go to grassrootslaw.com and find out. There's so every day there's something happening. Mm-hmm. Every single day. And so with that, you know, occurring, one of the things we were so glad to happen was that there was relief musically from Jill Scott as well as Erykah Badu.
Man, that was just all love. It was just a vibe.
All love, incense, and wine.
Yeah, man. 3 hours, just three. Had all 3 hours of my attention for 3 hours.
All of it.
That was it. And a little bit of the after party with Erykah.
All right, now after party. Yeah, I mean, you know, what was so interesting was that, you know, former First Lady Michelle Obama was participating in the concert, and I'm convinced. I don't care what nobody tell me, that she told the Secret Service, listen, IT, I'm going to need for y'all, call up Instagram.
Hello, no buffering today.
Mm-hmm.
This hour be extended for however long they want to. Until Erykah say, baby, I got to go. Until Jill Scott say, I ain't got no more wine, let it go, okay? Because there has not been, outside of D-Nice, have had, since then, had a duration of more than an hour of playing music, and it was so clear, so clear. The backstories were so soothing. The love and support, it was like,
yeah, that was one of the things I appreciated. Like, you know, watching a couple of the other battles, it was like really a battle. You know, they got shot and jives, you know, getting jives back and forth, shooting jives back and forth. But it was just all love, and you could feel it. It's like a respect to both of them. You know, they both respect each other's craft and their music, and you knew it was gonna be love when the way they started out playing each other's song. You know, the same song.
Yeah.
Right.
I
didn't even know that. The first song that Jill Scott ever
wrote
was
You Got Me. Yeah.
And the way that Jill was able to perform that song was because Erica was stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
And then they performed together for the Roots Picnic. I mean, look at God. And they talked about how for years people have pitted them against one another, and they have been friends for
the whole time.
The whole time. That's like, you know, they like, no, we not gonna be like Oprah and the couple. Oh,
you mean like Brandy and Monica?
Oh, Brandy. No,
I'm speaking of Brandy, I wonder who could take Brandy in a verse. I would love to see a versus with Brandy.
That would
who would be a good challenge for her?
They should just do Brandy and Monica.
Brandy will swipe Monica.
See, now we talk about competition. See, there's what I'm talking about.
And people had enough of that. They gravitated back to their norm, their roots. That was love. Let's see this fight.
Time situation, okay? But I was trying to say between Oprah and Whoopi. Yes. Oprah and Whoopi thought they had beef. And they were very close. And like for a duration of at least a decade and some change, they had not spoken to one another because it was a misunderstanding. And it just speaks volumes to sometimes, especially right now, we talked about this on our last episode, pick up the phone and call somebody. If it's a misunderstanding, just be like, listen, I think you're tripping, or I don't think it's this. You don't have to be the love and hip hop response that they want you to believe that you're supposed to act like when there's a disagreement or a confusion or whatever. Like, require all of that, you know what I'm saying? Because people are getting paid to act out in a certain way, which most people don't realize. It's reality TV. It means it's scripted, it's prompted. You don't have to live your life in that way. And people are dying left and right, literally. And it's like, hey, you don't want to have that over your conscience, because once that person is gone, there's nothing that's going to bring them back. Okay. Nope. Unless Jesus says you are risen, but I swear the last person that happened to was Lazarus. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's many years ago. So at this point, you definitely, you know, want to cease and desist on battles. But, you know, speaking of battles on this end that are good competition, healthy, you know, love, they said the next one is going to be between Ludacris and Nelly.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be a good one. I need to go pull out my baby fat.
Oh, true.
my apple bottom jeans.
You gonna take it all the way back, B?
There's two different types of artists, though.
What you think, say?
Like two different types of artists. Lyrically, Luda got them all day.
Oh yeah.
But he got the beats. The beats his joints. They good. He got good beats. So I give it to Luda though.
Yeah.
I like Nelly.
You know, Air Force One.
Down, baby.
I like him too.
Is that a let it go?
I mean, he made what the BET After Dark. What was it? He made that a thing.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
But you know, a good, healthy one I think they'll be awesome is Chris Brown and Usher. Definitely think that'll be amazing.
That might be pretty good though.
Who would be a good one against Missy?
Missy's in her own lane.
Herself.
Missy versus.
I'm really trying to think. Yeah, it would have to be a man. It couldn't be a woman. It would have to be a man.
Maybe it could be Missy versus Timbaland, but then how do you?
T-Pain.
She was smoking.
Good one. Yeah, Trev. I could see a Missy versus T-Pain.
Nah.
I could.
But you know, if we were to do one, it would be between Lil Richard and what's that guy's name? That wears the white. It's rock and roll. Elvis. Well, you already know who will win that one. That
bad. Oh, man.
I was struggling. I was having a relapse. This ring light is really hot right now, okay?
But listen, oh, man. But yes, rest in peace to Lil Richard, though, too.
Lil Richard and Elvis. And we know who will win. It was Lil Richard. Because he was the pioneer. He was the originator. He was the innovator. He was never the duplicator. He was the employer of so many people. And we want to just say rest in peace to Lil Richard. We, you know, his story, I feel like, is so sad. But I feel like the fact that, like, all of his stuff was, like, snatched away. I'm just glad that, you know, we know and we can tell our grandchildren and our children and our puppies, you know, who the real king of rock and roll actually was. And rest in peace. And then, you know, also wanted to give a major shout out to Betty Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T. She's the cleanup woman, okay?
Not Betty White.
Not Betty White. I mean,
people. Thank you for being a friend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. And it's like, what? This song has been sampled in so many different ways.
It's the cleanup woman. My grandpa used to listen to that.
My granddaddy.
This is your granddaddy. You know, and that's perfectly fine because for real, you know, there's certain things that you just can't, you know, take away or kind of forget about. And one of those people that passed is Andre Harrell.
It
was shocking.
It was shocking. But then it's just like he was just the creator of this, all things. Like my, being 40 plus, a little 40 plus. But being 40, that was like, he was the person that brought us Diddy, Mary J. Blige, Jodeci, Guy, I'll Be Sure, Christopher Williams, like, all these things that were, I mean, that was maybe my sister and them, but I was like,
yeah, you know that, you know that song
too. And then just everything that he created and envisioned and put into, like, just my era is just like, I was just like, man, if it wasn't for him, you know, we wouldn't have the New York Undercover series. We wouldn't have Strictly Business. Yeah, we wouldn't have Honey. You know, it's just like he did so much and just kind of just really elevated the culture for the Black, you know, just he created the culture a little bit, but just elevated us as a Black community with all the creativeness that he was able to produce and put out there. So rest in peace to him. He was a gem to a lot. I know he was really special to Diddy and Mary J. Blige. So yeah, this is a Diddy's tribute to him when he got recently. This is beautiful.
I want to take the time to thank Andre for being a big brother, for believing in me. Dre, I'm only standing up here because you gave me the chance. You gave me the opportunity. But most importantly, what we all have to do, as a Black man, you took me underneath your wing. You was patient with me, and you taught me, and you talked to me, and you taught me about the game. And you taught me what it was to be a record man. You believed in me, you know, and you kept teaching me. Even to today, you still teach me. And I call you my big brother, but tonight I gotta tell you the truth. That I told you my father died when I was 2 and a half. Andre, you've been my father for the last, like, 30 years, B.
Definitely the man that created kind of built the 90s for culture, like all that, like New York Undercover, Strictly Business, all the artists and stuff. That was the 90s, and all of that was a still inspiration of Andre Harrell. So definitely rest in peace to him. His stamp will forever be on our culture, just of what he's put out there for us. So yeah, beautiful. Oh, folks, man. Man, that was tough. What you got for us, Charisse?
Well, I think it's time for us to hear some dope music. You know what I'm saying?
We talked about Chica earlier. You want to play one of her songs? Don't want to?
Yeah, let's do that.
Cold hands, dark pencil. I scribble the stanza as my hands are trembling. Great seven, eight, heaven out of words. I began to build a world that only I inhabit. I got a habit of grabbing my presence. I think I'm just passing it. Trying to stay away while in the dark. Hope I ain't crashing it. Now my little hobby turned to cash. Now thinking about who I be if I listen to doubt. Said I never do it, but look at me now. Young girl, oh dream, oh soul, oh dear. Plan B, plan well. The love, no fear. Just waiting, God will tell you when the time is near. But if I never jump, then I die here. Ain't no ride till you pick up speed. They think college is all you need. And I don't blame you brainwashing all you see. It took me 19 years to finally start to believe. And that's me.
I'm on to something greater. You don't got to take my crown.
Okay, this is for the kids with depression. The ones whose parental expectations got them stressing. The ones who would rather persevere, bust their ass trying to make it, because they ain't really living in the present. They out here grinding, seeking perfect timing, tuning out the useless voices that discourage rhyming. Get a real job, I don't argue with my destiny. And if my choices don't affect you, why are you testing me? And as of late, I've been asking God why he blessing me. I could cry enough tears to feel the chest of me. Hold it together, girl, you deserve the world. And if no one else will say it, then I spit it to the mic in the studio when I lay, and I play it when you discouraged. I know chasing me impossible takes some courage. And I can promise at the end of your journey, when it's all said and done, nothing feel much better than hearing my nigga, you won. Hey.
I'm gonna make it in the rain outside. All of that money don't waste my time. Ain't nobody gonna bring me down. I'm on to everything. I'm on to something
great, great. Yeah, that was cheating right there, Crown.
Her whole album is fire. Yeah.
Industry Games, Bev. I know I heard the single, but then Bev was like, no, you gotta check out the album. I was like, all right, bet.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was on repeat after repeat after.
But yeah, that's Chica Crown off of her album or EP, Industry Games. Y'all wanna do one more, or are y'all ready to
what the Trav about to play?
This Silas. I got it.
Yeah. Motivated right here.
I know what a woman is he got for me. Ain't no stopping me. Cause you know I got it. I got it. Killer, but I got it. I got it. I got it. Oh, yo, that nigga, I got the juice. About a gallon, maybe two. And it's dripping on my suit. I got the proof. Ain't no way that I can lose. Ain't no way that I can choose to be anything lesser than a G. Kyle, can you feel its energy? Happy nigga, ain't no hating me. I'm about to bless all of my enemies. Never thought that all of this could happen. I was stupid then, and just imagine. I remember all you niggas laughing. Now I'm changing lives. All the rapping. The Goofy movie is my favorite tape. I want to take Montana on a date. I used to want to be like Superman until I saw Goku without a cape. Damn, yo, look at what we got here. Hit the bottom, but got to a top here. Ain't trying to hear what you gotta say to my face. Anyway, nigga, you were not here. Bad nigga with a goal, we a real nigga. In the basement, working, but no digger. I keep up everywhere that I go. Inside, Jim Cherokee, 9-2-2-2. Now, I'm here to tell you. They gonna try to keep a real nigga down. They gonna try it. But little nigga, you got it. You got it. Yeah, little nigga, you got it. You got it. You got it. Yeah, little buddy, you got it.
I believe in me. I know I can be. Whatever it is you got for me. Ain't no stopping me. You know I got it. I got it. Yeah, little buddy, I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it.
Dope.
This is my joint right there. Dear Silas and Big Crit.
Okay.
I got it. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, that joint. I like that. That's a good motivator.
I felt like it was about to go. It was going to go. I got it.
Oh, that's the remix.
Stay ready for the go-go. Ever she said, you take one little beat your feet, Clay.
Right, I did take that beat your feet class and I was tore up. I said, I didn't know I was supposed to beat your feet like this, honey. I didn't know. I didn't let the professionals do what they do because I can't. I cannot. Okay, but definitely that was dope. You guys can definitely check out their music. We will make sure to post their information in our official post for you to view it. You can be sure to stream our podcast on Spotify now. You can get the episode. We will put it out by Monday of the following week. Also, look at our previous podcasts that we've had. I mean, we've had a lot of amazing guests on. Want to just always thank everyone who's been a guest, who has constantly watched us from 3 years ago, from day one. We appreciate you through all the transitions that we've had. And you know, it was COVID that brought us all back together again. Yep. And so we want to say thank you for that. But listen, guys, this will not be, you know, although we may not be able to go to any concerts together right now until 2021, as Live Nation has projected us to return, there is definitely an opportunity for you to go and check out your favorite independent artists, encourage them to have a show. In there, you know, I'm saying, encourage me because I don't feel like doing it. But if you encourage people to do it, they'll feel the pressure and say, you know what? This is who I am. Remind them that they are an artist and that we need them in order for us to manage our livelihoods. And because right now it's really important for artists to get out there. But if you can't get an artist, you got plenty of things on Netflix. And I know we talked about Little Fires. We know one of the things on Netflix that you definitely should never take your time and waste your time to watch is John Henry. That was a waste of time, by the way.
Oh, yeah. They just dropped that, didn't they, recently?
It was terrible.
Okay. It was terrible. That's with, what's it, Terry, what's his name?
Tony Cruz.
Oh, Terry Cruz.
I heard about it. I heard it wasn't. I heard some people say that they couldn't stop watching it. It was like a bad train wreck. It was like,
I think I'm hearing how bad it is so much. I watched it.
There was like two sets of credits, and I didn't know, you know what I'm saying, like in the beginning.
Like Marvel?
Why are there so many people being named at the beginning of the movie? Like, I'm confused.
Because then you ain't gonna watch it at the end. You ain't gonna make it.
So it's like, we're gonna give you a credit up front.
Right. Appreciate me now. Because I know you're about to turn this off. And so you'll get into like 35, 40 minutes and you're like, am I sure this is the right thing I'm watching? I'm not really sure.
Let me take that one off my list. Thanks, Sheree.
Yeah. Don't do that. But just wait for the drive-thrus to come back because they're clearly going to be coming back for sure. And I think that would be dope. But also, one of the things I know Bevan had talked about yesterday.
Yeah, drive-thrus would be great because then I can bring my own snacks. I don't have to worry about sneaking them. They're in my car.
Hello. I can bring a blanket
and I can pillow. Oh my goodness.
Clean blanket and pillow.
Clean.
I can have Chinese food in my car.
Bruh. Could you imagine an egg roll with Basketball County?
Yeah, I literally but I did that all the heights. I brought in Chinese food.
And somebody in the theater was like, who got that in here? Who in here eating fish sandwiches?
Who got the General Soul shrimp? That's me. Okay, shut up.
I said fried rice.
That is me. Okay, our movie costs $5. Y'all better stop playing with me. Stop with me. That's my good thing. But yeah, also Kevin Durant, as Bevin mentioned, his documentary is debuting on Friday, May 15th. It's through Showtime. All you gotta do, you know, is either you're gonna subscribe and just remember to decline it before, you know, it's
right. Subscription. In that subscription, before they charge, they will charge you. Yeah,
you gotta be creative on how to make things do. But
create a new email, whatever.
Exactly. Do what you gotta do. But it's called Basketball Country in the Water. And it's basically the thought process behind, there must be something in the water of Prince George's County that there's been so many prominent athletes, specifically basketball players, that have been groomed and have been placed in the league. And so, you know, it's good to make it out. And so I think it's, you know, time to, if you have the resources, to go ahead and tell the story of how you make it out. But I feel like that's the story for all Prince George's County people. If you really want to be great, it's like you got to get out of here. Like, it just seems like if you're really, really, I'm sorry. I mean,
you're personal. I'm
just saying, whole time, like, there is something in the water, though. Like, real talk. Like,
you know what? That just pushes you. That mentality from others hating and not wanting you to succeed, it pushes you. It demands you to go to the next level. It demands it. Like, you can't, when somebody is hating on you that bad, it's like, you know what? I'm gonna prove your ass wrong. And it just forces you. It's that push. So it's like, thanks. So when people think they hate us, it'd be a real thank you. It's like, thank you for that push. Because if everybody would have been, oh yeah, you got this, you would have probably been a little lackadaisical. But because they was like, what is no problems? What? You did a little boot up remix, girl, please. I don't like it.
They steadily saying that. I go through that daily, okay?
But guess what? Let that push. Let that be your push.
Yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, all jokes aside, it is a motivating factor, but the part that I think most people don't kind of recognize is how it's debilitating. And I think I had put something out before between Wale and Ari Lennox,
where they were like, people from DC always crying and whining. They really good artists, but all they too sensitive.
Right. And I mean, maybe for the artists who are appreciated in DC, this doesn't apply to you. But for people who I know that honestly are extremely creative, like Mumu Fresh, she's been doing this for years and people were asleep, right? Like, they knew she was dope, but it was like only until after she had been touring with Common. She graduated from Duke Ellington. I mean, she's beyond amazing, right? And it was only until it was like Common said, oh yeah, she's dope. Check her out. Then it was like, oh yeah, Mumu. And it was like, no, Mumu been doing this. She's been laying these bars. So, I mean, it's like, if somebody like her can go through that, then it is something about this area that we need to learn how to embrace each other. Just like how Reverend Tony Lee talked about embracing the other churches and pastors, that is exactly what we need to do. Because honestly, there's no competition. We all have one mission. That mission is to make sure that we can provide everyone a better opportunity than what already exists. And so that in itself is what IAG is built upon, providing opportunities and platforms for independent artists to showcase their artistry. And that's what we want to do. So independent artists, you are not unseen. I am an independent artist. I used to have plenty of people be like, oh, Risa, you still singing? Yes, I am still singing. Whether I'm singing in my car, whether I'm singing in the shower, I am still singing. And no matter how much you feel or may try to tell me I don't sound good enough for you, somebody believes in me more than what I see. And so you independent artists that is watching this right now, if you're at home and you're knitting something and you just do it for friend, you know, just for fun, turn that into your passion. You might be great at that. I mean,
that's one of the things Erica said, you know, when you're being authentic to yourself, like people are just drawn into, like, you just go, like she mentioned it even in the verses thing. She was just like, just create, you know, and you can't think about what the you know, people's response will be to it. And now, you know, if you love it, then other people are just gonna be like, as you said, somebody might not like it, but this other person love it.
As I said, once you create it, it no longer belongs to you. Exactly. Once you create it, it's your duty to put it out. So do it, because you never know what you sing, say, write, act, build, knit, crochet, cook is gonna do for another person.
Absolutely. Braid, I mean, come on now. Listen.
Come through.
That's what y'all braid. Meanwhile, Trev and I over here struggling with the
with the ass.
Y'all can wear it. Okay. Y'all been joining on me for years. Some of my forehead is cute as a mug. So don't try me. Maybe I will wear a hat next week or something like that. But
y'all gonna get all of these fuzzies.
Okay, come through. But you got that nice washing.
Actually, I don't wear a hat when I leave the house. It's just only on this on the show. People get what they get.
I get it.
Hey, y'all, listen, we have had an extended
really true.
We love you.
You want to take it.
This is what it's going to be. Take it.
Right.
So take me.
As I am.
Or take nothing.
All right, y'all, let's get out of here.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
Head us out. We thank you guys. We appreciate you. This has been a dope IG. This was longer than what we thought, but you know, it's so much love and so much things we got to talk about. But until next time, IG, baby.
IG, baby.
IG, baby. Hold up, feel like I just love my president. Even if there ain't no president, switching up the message. And I'm about to add a little estrogen. Got my way by myself, in my red by myself. Only exes that I care about are in my chromosome. I don't really need you, I'ma call it coming home alone. Hey, three diamonds in my collarbone. Got my way by myself, in my red by myself. We'll be fighting and I'm nice, show me what you made. Baby, cool, baby, with no information. I got in the pool. I'ma show you how I do. I me up from that to say the best of and I know it's not the best. Not the best. I tell people I'm in the city club. I'm on the run.
Feel like a girl, do your thing, run the whole damn world. If you feel like a girl, run the whole damn world. If you feel like a girl, do your thing, run the whole damn world. If you feel like a girl, do your thing, run the whole damn world. If you feel like a girl. I'm not